Hey, this is Jeff Jacks from Questionable Content, and you're listening to the Webcomics Weekend.
Weekend.
Like
what?
Are you a beacon?
Lighthouse. Okay, sure. I've been drinking and my hearing is okay.
It's all good.
Hey, this is Jeff Jacks from Questionable Content, and you're listening to the Webcomics Beacon.
Now broadcasting the Webcomic Beacon.
Hello, this is a poor attempt at episode 37.
We got the episode number right.
Are you sure?
Yes, I'm looking at our page. 36 was last week.
Apparently, so over an hour and a half ago, we were supposed to start recording this segment with the... But I had fallen asleep, and Tanya might have thought it was the wrong time. I don't know. I apologize to everybody listening who is coming to the show expecting one thing and not getting it. But also, I can't seem to get a hold of the other people that were supposed to be on. So I guess we're gonna have to skip that to community showcase and just talk about something else completely. And are you still there? Hello? Tanya? I can't hear you at all.
The Webcomic Beacon is an affiliate of The Geek Media. The Geek Media has a number of geek-related podcasts, blogs, and videos for you to enjoy. Check out thegeekmedia.com. Have news, milestones, questions, or comments? Send your audio clips or email to webcomicbeacon@gmail.com.
Hello again.
All right, we're back again. Technical difficulties apparently. Just when we start getting going, the internet decides to quit for 20 minutes, and try to get my laptop up. This is Fess of FessInerns.com. With me is Tanya of BetaPwn.com.
Hello.
And what is the phrase? Whatever can go wrong, will go wrong.
It's Murphy's Law.
Murphy's Law.
That which can go wrong will.
Yeah. And that is the new topic for this week. whatever can go wrong, will go wrong. Murphy's Law in webcomics.
Yes.
let's see if I can get anybody to come on.
I actually had kind of a Murphy's Law week, actually. I started the comic, and everything was good, and it was like 2 o'clock in the morning, and like, yay, I'm just going to have to color it. It'll be about an hour. Everything will be good. And then first the computer froze, mm-hmm. and then Photoshop threw up a bunch of lovely errors and refused to save anything and vomited. And then, so there's a lovely black and white comic up, but... Yeah. Because at 3 a.m., you know, screw it. At 3 a.m., you're not going to mess with it. It's just not going to happen.
Right.
So, yeah, it's all good. Things happen. Things happen.
No. It's not things happen. It's shit happens.
Don't you beep shit
yes,
these days?
I beat shit. I beep shit. And I get the shit beat out of me. And it's all shitty.
Nice. It's that kind of day, is it?
It is that kind of day.
It is. It's a little...
I did manage to find somebody who's going to come on the show with us.
That's good.
Excuse me.
Is it like your brother, or is it...
Oh, it's busy, apparently.
Oh, good. So he lied.
No, it just... Okay, trying again. Yeah, Murphy's Law all around for everybody. Everybody, yeah.
There's a call in progress.
Yeah, well, welcome to the show, Ben. Oh, you're not here yet?
It says that there's a call in progress.
Oh, gosh. try again.
Oy vey. Yay, I'm Yiddish now.
Yiddish? I thought there was a...
Okay, oh. I think it's working now.
All right, Ben, we hear you. This is Ben Carver of PointGuardian.com, and hopefully you guys can spell that right. What is it, AU or UA?
What, Guardian?
Yeah.
Yes.
UA.
UA, awesome. Today on the show, we are talking about Murphy's Law. Are you familiar with Murphy's Law?
I am facing some of that right now.
Oh, that's awesome.
Because my speaker, well, actually my USB headset wouldn't cooperate for a second while I was very quickly fumbling around. I have a new setup now. I actually just moved the past 2 days, so I'm still trying to...
I moved 2 months ago. I'm still unpacking. Well, that would imply that I'm actually still unpacking.
You're still living out of boxes, is what you're saying.
Well, I'm not really going into them. They're just kind of there.
You throw them out if
you don't need them.
That's right. You wait 3 months, and if you have not accessed any of those boxes in 3 months, drop them off at Goodwill.
Well, no. A lot of them have my electronics and stuff in it I have yet to plug in.
That you aren't using for 3 months, so give them the Goodwill.
No, way. I got data CDs in there, too.
Homeless people need PDAs.
Possibly porn, too, so I don't know.
Oh, well, don't throw away the porn. We know better than that.
No, we apparently... do you have your speakers on?
Me?
Ben? Yeah.
No, it's only through my
I'm getting some weird feedback from you. Maybe it's me.
I hear a little bit of it, but yeah, it's like a buzzing noise.
Is it better now? I just lowered my mic volume.
Maybe let me test. I don't hear me, so that might be it.
Excellent.
Well, no one else really listens to you either, so.
A little cross between the lines.
We've got Murphy's Law and trash talking.
Oh, jeez. Well, we were supposed to start the show at about 3 p.m. Eastern today. It didn't
that
start
didn't work.
Until 4:30 p.m. Eastern today, off and on. And I never received any email or contact from the people that were supposed to be on today, so I don't know if they also forgot or they just didn't email me and say, hey, where the hell were you? So it's all sorts of effed up, and Aaron's not here. Aaron, you're the glue that holds us together, despite you not talking enough.
The silent guardian of the show.
He is. He's the cornerstone. I don't know.
Well, let's see. Tara of GalaxianComics.com was saying, I think he was saying that he needs to talk more often. I don't know. It was I don't even know what's going on anymore. It was a webcomic
Aaron,
list
Aaron
thread.
Is very funny, and I enjoy having Aaron. He should talk more. I think he just doesn't want to be impolite or conflict.
Oh yeah, it was Dutch of
SchoolSpirit.com.
It might be SchoolSpirit.com. We'll get that in the show notes. Who is saying he should talk more? Well, anyway, right now we are currently hosted on the Rampage Network at rampagenetwork.com, and people who are must have an iTunes feed, people know what my feelings are on iTunes. You can, instead of just using a regular feed or actually visiting the site like everyone intended, but you can apparently Tara of GalaxianComics.com says that you can. As an iTunes user, you can go to the advanced drop-down menu in iTunes and select subscribe to podcast and paste in wcbeacon.rampagenetwork.com/?feed=podcast. You can go to our main site at wcbeacon.rampagenetwork.com and click on this on the regular feed podcast feed. And get the URL that way. We have yet to move over webcomicbeacon.com over to the new site, so it's all sorts of things not going
working.
To plan and things constantly delaying.
The iTunes feed should be self-correcting shortly. It takes a couple of times after you've moved, a couple of RSS feeds going out before.
But
did you
try to change it, because the actual URL has changed?
Yes, I contacted them, and it's something you're supposed to put into the RSS feed, but we don't do that.
I have no idea how to do it.
It'll work. It worked last time. It'll work. have faith. in the Apple.
Yeah.
it worked last time. It'll work. It's all good. It just takes Ben's a couple here. Episodes.
That's right. That's right. I am here, and I do not think highly of Apple. So
I like iTunes. I am. I'm actually becoming more of an Apple whore as time goes on.
You son of.
I am. I'm being assimilated rapidly. I want an iPhone so bad I can.
Oh, come on. There's like so many alternatives to iPhone.
You are correct. There are, and I don't care. I want an iPhone. I'm already on AT&T anyway.
Freaking whore.
And? Yes. Yes, I am a whore.
The bad type of whore.
Oh, the bad type? There are no bad types of whores.
There are two. Anyway, we're talking about Murphy's Law and problems that people run into. We are just throwing this show together at the seat of our pants this week.
Well, this show seems to be being affected by Murphy's Law even as we speak. So let's.
It has been. So I mean, this isn't even the original topic for this week. So we're just going to do it like this.
Maybe they all missed on purpose. That way you could have a better example.
I don't know. But okay, like, what are some things that people have problems with various sites out there? I'm gonna go right away and start with Comic Genesis. We're gonna go through all the different hosting sites. Comic Genesis in the past, especially after it's been a few years, has problems with their servers just up and degrading, falling apart, because you know that's what happens to servers over time without regular maintenance or it just being used too much. That sometimes, not even just Comic Genesis, but other places as well, where the servers just become unreliable and they just fall apart. What do you do in this situation? Well, you got to deal with it, or look for a better place to host in the meantime, or have several mirrors up. Do you have any mirrors, either of you guys?
No,
I don't.
No, no. Really?
No.
I have a Drunk Duck mirror. I have a Comic Genesis mirror, and.
I use GoDaddy to host. Yeah. So no, I
Go
don't.
GoDaddy go.
So you already pay for your hosting. You pay for your hosting, Ben?
No, it's all through Comic Genesis, but a friend of mine as a regular birthday gift, he pays for my domain name pointguardian.com. It's Aww. You know, I know people always bitch about the Comic Genesis's system going down, but you know, honestly, the percentage of time it goes down in a year is less than 1%.
Yeah.
Until it reaches that 3-4 year point where both all the servers are just kind of...
Well, even with that, it's still less than 1% out of the year.
Yes.
I'm reminded of a guy, Eric is his name, of the comic Xern. See, I talk
He's a regular listener of this show, so watch out.
Yeah, be nice.
He knows what I said this to his face. He knows what I feel. Anyways, he was on Comic Genesis for a while, and he rarely interacted with anybody there. And when there were those outages right before they switched to the Comic Genesis switched to its current server, he actually posted on the forum saying, you know, up and demanding for the new server to be hooked up, and kept on saying, "This is me. I have these many hits a day, and why aren't you having the server up?" He became a bit of a demanding customer.
And it's for free.
For free, I know. And I even told that. I'm like, look, you know, I know we're friendly and all, but you came off as a jerk.
Yeah.
I told him that.
Well, I'm sure there's other people that have been like that, too. I mean, I've seen posts of various people all complaining about it.
I know, but you know, it's just his attitude. He wasn't even really a part of the forum. He only came on there, and he had the attitude that
"I'm important, yeah. Serve me."
Yeah.
Entitlements. The attitude of entitlement.
Well, sometimes people do get frustrated when things aren't going right. And the other thing about with Comic Genesis is that its automation system is like, oh man, I mean, I just want to upload it to a files. Space and do it all myself and not worry about naming my image files right and it's kind of a headache unless you build it from the ground file. Up unless you build your site from the ground up around how the structure of Comic Genesis automatic system works, it's a pain in the butt, really. And I end up putting a really minimalist site over at Comic Genesis because of it.
I sort of disagree. I think Comic Genesis' system has a lot of more freedom than, say, Drunk Duck, because Drunk Duck is a lot more of a GUI-based system, which really doesn't have that much more freedom. While
but
with
it's easier.
I know, but that's the thing. That's the thing. It's easier for some people, but it doesn't let you do the more useful design things. Like,
well, you can. For instance,
look at my comics website, pointguardian.com, and see here. View page source. CSS.
Yeah.
Tons and tons of CSS.
Yes.
What could have been a page that would have three times this length, which
in HTML
is now in HTML is now so much smaller, which means it'll load so much quicker.
Yes.
Drunk Duck is well, CSS as well.
I know, but theirs is more of a GUI-based system to where...
It's their CSS, right? There's only certain things that you can
modify.
It's their
CSS. Not only that. I think I've looked at it before, and I think I saw some embedded nested tables there last time I looked.
They embedded tables in CSS?
No, HTML? I think they use nested tables in some of their...
Well, they got ad areas where they have ads pop up.
I know.
At the top
here.
And right at the bottom of your comic, they have certain things that need to go in certain places. And
oh yeah, they got nested tables bad.
Yeah,
it does take a little while, but it's like there is. Somebody told me there is a thread on the forums where you can customize. I mean, I've seen some Drunk Duck sites that are really good, but that's more of a where you it's simple, it's straightforward for people to use. But if you really want to take advantage of it, it's kind of a pain in the ass.
Here's a trick. Do you know what a nested table is, right?
No, not really.
Okay, a nested table. A nested table is where you have a when you're doing HTML design, mm-hmm. and you mm-hmm. create one table.
Okay.
And then in one of those new table cells, a TD tag, you put in another table.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that is a cardinal sin in web design.
I do that a lot. I do that all the time.
Oh, you know what you're saying every time you do that? Please take another 10 seconds to load this page.
That's right.
Look
at my...
People have high-speed internet now, so I don't care. No. I don't know how else to design a site
with
using
CSS.
Tables.
Yeah.
I freaking open, don't know
open
CSS.
Up, open up pointguardian.com, view source, and type in... After you do view source, type in... Find and do table next,
and it's not there.
It's only there once for the calendar.
Oh yeah,
that's only one table. Table open, table close. That's all. That's all the table tags there are.
Yep. It's so much easier in CSS than it is in HTML, and it doesn't take time to load.
Exactly.
Well, I don't know how to get exactly what I want.
You know,
how
you
I
can
want the
get
site to
eight-
look.
1,000 free CSS
designs. CSSZenGarden.com.
Absolutely. And you take one of those designs, you slap in your images, and you're done. It's over.
Or,
you don't even have to know CSS.
Or what you could do is you could ask me or many of my other designer friends that actually has a day job doing CSS and HTML coding.
And, there you go.
You know, a lot of us could do it for free. Some of us can do it for favors.
Go to fessandernst.com and take a look at how I have my setup.
Okay,
Fess.
You're going to make him look at your code? He'll cry.
No, don't look at the code. Just look at the site.
Okay. What's the URL again?
Fessandernst.com.
Fess and Earn. How do I spell Earn?
ERNST.
Okay.
It's not the best design, but it's the one that I found that works best for me as far as I can do. I wanted to have that a side panel.
I could do that in CSS real easy.
Yeah.
But it's like,
it'd actually be a lot faster. It'd be easier in CSS. And,
one table, two
Did you look at his code?
Three tables, four tables, five tables. You don't even have this thing beautified, man.
I don't. Everything takes forever whenever I redo something.
You know, you can actually, if you go to netmechanic.com, they actually have an HTML optimizer that would have gotten rid of a lot of that stuff for you too. But
also, you're using the font tag instead of a p tag, and you're using b instead of strong.
I hate using strong. B is so much easier. B, right there, bold. No,
strong
clear, done.
Is the strong is the right way. You want to know why?
Why?
Let's say you have someone on there that actually wants to hear it. There's some programs that when it sees strong, it knows to put an emphasis there, and if it sees B, it doesn't know what to do.
B is like the original tag. How can a program not know what the heck it is? It's bold.
Well, because
easy.
The programs he's talking about, I mean, are especially used by like visually impaired and things, which
yes.
technically
okay.
might not be looking at comics. But
and these programs,
but
they don't take into account data and code that has been there long before that program has ever existed. Why wouldn't they
do
that?
It's no longer standard. Nobody uses it anymore.
No, it's no longer standard.
Who cares? It still exists.
Go to w3school.com and learn.
Wait, no. Why would they make it more difficult? B, it's one letter versus typing out a whole word.
The reason is because it has other functionality.
Underline.
That's the point. All bold does is make it bold. Strong has other characteristics that you can actually input in, especially in CSS.
But I just
you can define what strong will do on your page.
I only want it to bold, which is why I do B. Also, this is probably, you shouldn't do this. I program with FrontPage Express.
Oh my god!
Because I cannot freaking understand Dreamweaver. I have a pirated...
Okay, but don't use Dreamweaver either. You're gonna make
I actually use Dreamweaver only because it shows me where my open and close tags are, and as soon as I close a tag, it automatically knows which tag I'm closing.
Well, but you can do that in C++.
I also have PHP pages, and you really can't see that not server side.
You can on C++ if you use Notepad.
I don't want to learn a whole other programming language.
No. It's a program that'll show you, like, it turns the whole stanza a different color when you've closed your tags correctly. Or for that matter, download the free CSS creator from Coffee Cup Software. I mean, there are all kinds of programs that will help you to use CSS. CSS loves you, Fess.
You know, even though you like Max, I have to say you're not that bad.
Oh, thank you. That's so nice. I haven't actually switched over to a Mac computer yet. They're a little too user-friendly for me.
Unexpected error, quit. Screw you!
Oh, please, I get that on my PC all the time. It's usually with, like, Photoshop. Hates me.
No, I get errors on a PC all the time, but I usually, it's because I did something wrong, and I know exactly what I did. It's not like, unexpected error. I didn't expect that. Oh, I'm going to quit and not tell you what it was. What?
Yeah, or there's the, see, what happens is, you know, Windows has the blue screen of death, but
yes.
Macs have the red screen of damnation.
Yes.
I've never seen that.
Well, because Steve Jobs doesn't want people to know that there is actually an error screen for a Mac. But there is, and it's horrible.
It often shuts off, though, before you ever see that error screen.
I have
and that
seen
would
it.
Be, have you? I've
I
never
have
seen,
seen the red screen of damnation.
The red screen of damnation. Okay. I have used Macs where it just suddenly said, you know, goodbye. kind of just quit. But I have not seen the red screen of damnation. I've heard of it. Like the Loch Ness Monster.
We got to take a quick break here. Here's something. Here's a little something from Lord Pander's up and coming album.
Oh, excellent.
And it's a minute clip from one of the tracks on there. He was supposed to do this week's cover based on who we're going to have on this show.
Wow, we screwed him, didn't we?
Well, yeah. We're still going to pimp his site. His comic is Large Panda, not Giant Panda or Big Panda or comic that hurts my eyes when I look at it. It's a
or
large
Kung Fu Panda.
It's Large Panda, and here, just have a listen. Okay, I'm not actually going to play it because I don't have it set up. Because if I try to do something,
it'll blow up.
Yeah, it'll blow up. So that's going to be.
He'll get a blue screen of death.
Yeah, maybe. I haven't really had that too often, unless I'm really messing with my computer. But okay, well, back to things that can go wrong. Let's see here. Not saving.
Fess is coding. We've decided. Shut can up. Go yes. wrong.
Not saving while editing your page. Not saving while editing your Photoshop.
Trying to save and having Photoshop stick its big fat stupid tongue out at you and always, shut off anyway.
Always save after scanning, no matter yes. what. Before you do anything else, after that page pops up, save.
I don't scan anymore. I'm scan free. Yeah. Sorry.
Well, one thing that can go wrong that actually can go wrong with, especially with my type of comic, is, you know, I use a lot of inks. There can always be the potential of the inkwell tipping.
Yes. And that ruins not only your comic, but your table. And
in
possibly
my day.
Your pets. And your day. If cats can sense when ink has been recently spilled. Cats and rats both. And they will flock to the area to spread it. Far and near. Yes.
But yeah, it's it is something. What?
Do you use India ink?
Yes.
Do you use India ink?
I do use India ink.
Oh, that stuff just doesn't come out.
Of anything.
Of anything. Now you're hosed. Yeah.
Oh, boy. Let's see here.
Hold on. I got a voicemail. I need to put you all on mute for a second.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Anyway, let's see here. Yeah, for those that are just coming in the middle of the podcast, well, screw you. I'm not going to tell you what we're doing because obviously you're not paying attention, right?
No, it's just because we don't know what we're doing. It's because we blow is what it comes down to.
We have not missed a week of this podcast ever, I don't think.
Even against our better judgment.
But let's okay. Somebody asked, "What's the deal with Strip Fight?" I usually skip that part of the show because it goes by so quick. Blah 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 blah. Anyway, let's talk about it. Stripfight.org is a website which is designed around.
Hey, what's up?
Oh, hang on.
Sure. I'm right now on a radio show, so I'll have to wait.
Oh, see, he's actually on the phone.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
So
right. He's not on.
Right.
No, he's not on mute.
We now hear him.
Hello, Murphy.
Yeah.
He's no longer on the phone, and so now it's okay.
Okay. Yeah, because we heard a little bit of your conversation there. Anyway, stripfight.org is one of those websites where...
Hello?
Yeah.
Oh.
Okay, I'm trying to work this dang mute button on my headset.
Okay.
Yeah,
it maybe muted us, but it didn't mute you, so we still kind of heard you a little bit. Okay, anyway, we're talking about stripfight.org.
Stripfight.org. We've moved on.
Stripfight.org is a website where, because somebody asked about it, is where they have a weekly theme, and they challenge people to do a strip. Just a comic strip based on the theme. Like last week, it was around 169 Games of Nature, and they have lots of regulars. They have lots of regulars. I know that, but I know ever since we started pimping them on the show, they've started getting more people there. It's really fun. It's like Games of Nature, and so you got to come up with a strip that is supposed to match the theme, and then after a week or something like that, they put them all up to vote.
Right.
And
instead of voting for like your favorite, you rate each one, and then the one with the highest rating is the one who wins for that week.
Which is a lot more fair because you don't just vote for one, but you can vote for it'll vary, and it's a little bit more accurate as far as who'd have the better strip for that week.
Instead of just who has the most friends online. Yeah.
Well, that may also help, but yeah. but, you know, sometimes I see single panel strips, which aren't strips. They're single panels. They're not sequential art, therefore it's comic art. That's me nitpicking, of course.
I agree with you.
Oh.
But sometimes they can be good. But I will rank ones that do more panels higher than the single panels. I will openly admit that.
Tim Winkleman and Lonnie Allen of Squidworks Comic Co-op both do a lot of the strip fights. Tim Winkleman more so.
I think
he's in there like every week.
Tim Winkleman. Wow. Some Someone should kill his parents.
What is
I'll wrong? Let him know that tomorrow.
I forget how harsh you are with everything.
Well, come on, Winkleman. You know he was teased to death in elementary school.
I'll ask him. Our Squidworks meeting is tomorrow.
Well, you really
I'll
can't
ask.
Do much about your last name.
I'll say
your parents
ben
can change
wants,
it.
No. Well, yeah, but that's a pain in the ass sometimes.
What's more of a pain in the ass, being picked on in elementary school or changing your name?
It grows character. Winkleman isn't actually
right.
that bad as...
It could be worse. He could be like Richard Winkleman, and then you're screwed. Then for the rest of your life, you're Dick Winky, and that would bite. It's not so bad.
There's
I got divorced almost 2 years ago.
There's actually a guy that has a radio show in my area. His name is Benjamin Dover.
Ben Dover. Seriously, on purpose? That's awful. That's child abuse.
Oh, jeez.
It's just really awful.
He has a great show, though, but yeah, his name is...
Well, yeah, he's funny because he was beat up all the time.
That's mean. Oh, yeah, how is that funny?
No. I mean, because, you know, the kid that gets picked on a lot, they either end up being a bully themselves or they end up using comedy as their release, like their escape mechanism. The funny kid doesn't get beat up as much.
Or they internalize it for years and then go on a shooting rampage suddenly.
Yeah.
Yeah, there is that.
That's what happens.
Anyway, this went off. This is horrible.
This is a good example of Murphy's Law, people.
You guys are terrible. let's see. Well, okay, I wanted to bring up another thing. This is just a big mishmash, pish-posh.
This is bullshit, all of it.
Yeah, you're going to make me go through and censor this whole fucking thing, too.
Oh! Oh, well, at least now you have a nice point to start with.
Yeah. Okay. Terra, again, of Galaxian Comics, something like that. The webcomic Galaxian. She made a post on the webcomic list talking about, I mean, she listens to our podcast, and she knows that you're a woman and you're on our podcast, but she was also looking for, hey, you know, where are the women in webcomics? You know, why aren't they doing podcasts? I mean, cause it's like, not to be sexist,
but in
my experience, there are a ton of women artists. In fact, if not, they're the majority of artists. They seem to be, at least in my experience. That's why it's not sexist. I'm saying based on my experience. And also, it's like there's a lot of female webcomicers as well.
There are, yeah.
And
who's the most famous one you can think of?
Amber
Jenny
Williams.
Of the Devil's.
Who's Amber Williams?
Yeah, a furry fandom. She's big.
What about the
Dan and Mab's
people?
Furry Adventures? That's for her website.
I would go with Jenny Breeden of the Devil's Panties.
Who?
Jenny Breeden.
See, there's over 10,000 webcomics to even think of who's there's like in different sects. There's different people that are more famous than others. Other than the casual listeners, which will probably everyone's going to know Penny Arcade people because people who are not into webcomics are going to know them.
But they're not girls.
What I'm saying is that...
Depending on who you ask.
Yeah, depending on which genre you're thinking of, it's all going to depend on...
I meant Penny Arcade people.
I don't know her actual name. I only know her nick. But the artist for Templar Arizona.
Spike?
Yeah, Spike.
She is, in fact, a woman. I met her.
Yeah, I know Diana Nock knows her as well. They're buddies or something like that, but
I forgot her name. The artist for Queen of Wands.
I never heard of that comic.
Something positive has one of the characters now. More mainstream.
What about you? Do you know
Devil's Panties and Queen of Wands and Templar Arizona? Those are huge.
I know Templar Arizona is.
Wow.
I don't know. Okay. Well, do you have an answer?
I hardly know. Actually,
well, then shut up.
Shut up.
The only ones I know of are the ones I talk to, and that, you know, it's like, you know, like American Gothica.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I should have known that one.
She's only been on this show like 8 times.
Yeah, I only worked with her with the crossover wars too, like a million times.
Okay, IT is now holding his hands in front of his chest like boobies and then making slingshot symbols. Oh, Daniel Corsetto, girls with slingshots.
I don't get it.
No, he was trying to be quiet, you know, to give me the clue. Daniel Corsetto, who does the comic Girls with Slingshots. She was also the cartoonist behind the Batboy comics for Weekly World News.
Wow,
Girls with Slingshots actually... is also huge. So, yeah.
I actually know that one.
Well, there you go. The Batboy comics or Girls with Slingshots? Yeah.
Batboy.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Danielle Corsetto. She is also a woman.
Okay.
And IT is very proud of himself.
Here's an even better question. How many are question marks?
What?
I would say anyone I haven't already met could possibly be a woman. If they don't have their name at the bottom of a comic, I make no assumptions toward their gender.
What about the ones that do have their name that are still question marks?
I usually go by whatever the main character is, and I think usually people tend to draw what they are, who they are, usually as main character. Like if you got a white guy is going to have a white guy as main character, a black guy is going to have a black guy as main character, a woman's going to have a woman as main character, and so on and so on. I mean, I have read a lot of
action comics. Mm-hmm. Where there's a female kick-ass main character that are very clearly
drawn by a guy, yeah.
Well, very clearly,
but those are usually almost obvious if they're done by a guy. Of course, not always, but I'm saying at least tends to people, because like when you're a kid, what do you draw? You tend to draw, you know, if you're a boy, you're going to draw a guy, a boy all the time, and it's usually going to be the same, you know, race as you usually.
Yeah. We tend to draw what we know.
Yeah, you tend to draw what you know, and you usually tend to draw yourself. So that's what I usually attribute as who's drawing it. Or, like, if you're on a forum, I usually go by the avatar, if it's a male or female avatar. Though, you know, obviously, there are guys that have girl ones, and there's girls that will have guy ones. Or there's some people that just have something you have no idea. Okay, so you're a car. Okay.
Double D of E.H. Joe's just has huge jugs. That would be... Because, you know, with a name like Double D, you got to go with what
you
like.
Sorry, I think of Ed and Eddie.
I know.
That's the only way I can remember Double D is that guy.
He's pretty much referring to the breast size, but...
Right.
Yeah.
But, anyway, the point of me bringing this up is that she was looking for webcomic podcasts that are done by women.
I don't know of any.
I wanted to say this in the thread, but I wanted to say it with you here so that you wouldn't know that I'm not making fun of you. But as far as women go, Tanya,
I'm not a very good one.
You're kind of tomboyish, so
kind of.
So you're not very womany, I guess.
I have a mental.
So maybe you
penis.
Don't count. You're like one of the. You're more so one of the guys, more so than one of the girls, at least.
A mental what?
Seems. I have a mental penis. Yeah, I don't deal well with . I speak of other women as though I'm not one. Like, I say, I don't understand women, and people look at me strangely. I am aware that I am atypical as women go. I don't have many women friends. Mm-hmm. I get confused when people cry at movies.
I cry at movies?
You know what? If a kid dies or something, I get upset.
Remember when they had to shoot Old Yeller?
You know what? Screw Old Yeller. I just didn't even care.
When I was like six, I was like, no, you're going to shoot it. I also cried at Bambi when I was a kid, but I guess what kid didn't cry at Bambi?
Me.
I cried during the Pokemon movie.
Oh, look, there is a woman in the podcast. It's Fess.
You.
For a woman, he has a very thick beard.
I cried during Pokemon, the movie.
Are you serious?
No, seriously.
The money was wasted on making it.
Well, okay.
My 8-year-old daughter didn't cry at Pokemon.
Okay, look at it. Okay, me, I'm a person that gets into my movies. I'm the person, that kind of person that zones. So I'm the person that I don't have any lights. I have little lights on, so I focus on the screen and I get into it. So, really get into the movie. You can really enjoy a movie a lot more.
I cried at Pay It Forward. I cried at that too,
but it's like, come on, it's like you got, I mean, despite it being a children's cartoon, it's like the part where Mew and Mewtwo are just fighting, and then like they have like all the different Pokemon just fighting. It's like brother against brother, and like Ash is trying.
It was very Civil War-ish.
Ash is trying to like stop this. He jumps in the middle, and like he gets killed, and it's like. You know,
okay. Not really killed because then they
oh, turned
the tears of the Pokemon bring him to life.
That was a bit cheesy, but that actually relates to something at the beginning of the movie when they're talking about some ancient lore or whatever.
Yeah, there was foreshadowing.
There was, but you know, I was like, Ash.
But back to it. I know that I'm not much of a typical woman. I'm aware of that, and you know what? Just briefly, if I can take a moment.
Sure. Take
I made
two.
I made some comments about feminism. I made some comments about feminism, and I'm not being taken to task. It's not like I'm getting hate mail, but a couple people have kind of contacted me and sort of, you know, been like, "Wow, you're really, really harsh about the whole feminism thing." And I wanted to make it clear that when I made the negative remarks about feminism, I was talking about extremism, always.
Feminazis.
Oh wow, Rush Limbaugh terminology. Well,
the extremists tend to be bad for everybody, even the
for the group
that they're trying to represent.
And so the people that I was talking about are people that take offense for the sake of taking offense.
I would
not
like
the feminazis.
I would like to have a show around like a feminist episode, not so much as an extremist, but like you know, kind of like you got Girl-O-Matic, you got Girl Wonder, women-centric, women-strong websites, and I'd like to do
the radical notion that women are people. Yeah,
women are people.
No,
of
I mean like
there are more people than
that
men.
Was like no, that was like the old feminist thing. You know, feminism is the radical notion that women are people. That was the 70s try, but where you're talking about like strong characters rather than you know the boyfriend bubble. Yeah. That would be
so,
good.
So here's a question for you. Would you say that there's a webcomic version of Gail Simone in the...
Who?
Gail Simone is a comic book writer that's very famous for writing strong female characters. I'm just saying, is there a webcomic
A webcomic version.
We're talking strong, like, Rosie the Riveter... Not necessarily
well,
physical
not
strength,
necessarily,
but like
but...
she's a woman and she's gonna do it herself, and you know, just kind of empowering.
I think she knows what I'm talking about. Don't
okay,
she?
It's empowering, but not as the point. Just that a strong, independent woman of her own right. It's not a cloying kind of you know, look at the girl who's awesome. It's not, and it's not over the top either. It's not you know a Wonder Woman scenario.
Which is actually the book that Gail Simone is writing now.
Yeah, she is doing Wonder Woman now, and I haven't been able to really keep track of it.
I wonder if she's gonna wear a little bit more clothes that would command a little
bit more respect. No, she stays in the you know what of the superheroine clothing, Wonder Woman is practically in a burqa. I mean,
yeah. I mean, as far as what she's supposed to represent, you know, feminism, take me seriously, but look at how little I'm wearing.
Look at my ass. Yeah, I know. It's
I got to get
really
this out.
Isn't that bad.
Okay.
It really isn't that
ever
bad.
Ever see Robot Chicken? They had like, they had like the superhero characters and they're talking about their reverse or their evil doubles. And it's like, at least you don't have to worry about reverse Wonder Woman. And she has like clothing in every spot that Wonder Woman doesn't. And it was hilarious. It's like, oh, hey, where's my visible jet. Oh, there it is.
Nice.
That was awesome. Oh, anyway,
I don't know of any webcomics offhand that I would say have those kind of strong characters. We mentioned, you know, like Girls with Slingshots, which is mostly a female-centric cast, but you know what, there's still sort of like drinking and dating. It's not really yeah.
how would you classify? I know it's written by a guy, but how would you classify Girl Genius with a strong?
See, Girl Genius actually has a lot of really strong female characters.
Yeah.
They're intelligent. They're believable. It's not the, and occasionally it's like with the Baron. It's sort of you know, wow, look at the girl who's capable. But it's not often. And that plays more to his character than it does hers. They never really call attention in the storyline to the fact that she's capable, oh, and a woman, or capable for a woman.
Well, the comic is already called Girl Genius, so you're already going to go in with certain expectations of... Well, you know, well, I mean...
But Agatha, who is, you know, the girl genius we're talking about, Agatha is not the only strong female character. There are...
And she has a lot of issues herself, you know. With having a lot of her mental capacity suppressed for most of her life.
But she's damn cool.
She is damn cool, but...
If she were a real person, I would like to know her.
Most of the female characters are very complex and strong. Yes, so Girl Genius, absolutely. I'm glad you brought it up.
We got to take a quick break right here again, but the point I've been trying to get to the past 15 minutes was that, okay, Tara was saying that she would like to see a webcomic podcast mainly done by women, and I will totally promote this if some people want to get together and do this, and I'll help out in any way I can to help get one going, because that would be really cool.
I have to disagree. If you're going to do it with women just for the sake of doing it with women, I'm going to have two words of warning for y'all. Two words. The and view.
Oh, good point.
But still, you know, you got to look at. I look at all the other webcomic podcasts, Webcomics Weekly, the one by Penny Arcade, Digital Strips, Art and Story, the Geekcast, this
but
show,
again,
almost
we...
and 100% aside from Tanya, 100% guys.
Yeah,
with like, Tanya, 99% guys.
Doing it for the sake of doing it with women is.
Is the
not
view.
Necessarily different.
Yeah, but yeah. I want to hear it, like women's view. Artistic views and everything on this, because it's like you don't hear. You only hear from the like the guys thing, and sometimes you
and
get like a guest.
That's inherently sexist in and of itself, suggesting
yeah,
that
fact,
because they have vaginas, their view is so radically different.
No, I'm not saying it's radically different. I want to hear from women
creators. Can you do a Barbara Walters impersonation?
You know, I can't do a Barbara Walters. I can't even remember the last time I heard Barbara Walters.
I'm just making an extreme example of why this should not be done the way you're talking.
Well, as long as they're not doing it as in like the extremist feminist type of way, and this
just saying, don't say that's
what the View does.
I know. All I'm saying is don't go around saying I'm trying to find these women, come women and be on this show with nothing but other women to talk about. Stuff.
Kind of like when they do minority anthologies or female anthologies or this idea. It should just be, yeah,
natural.
I mean,
exactly.
I mean, it's like you can have like an all women podcast and be like, go through. It's like, don't just up and find. Oh, you're a woman.
I don't think they're legal in most states.
I'm just saying. It's. Oh God. I'm just saying. It's like they don't say, hey, you're a woman. Let's do a podcast. It's like get some really interesting women out there. And have them on and do a podcast, you know, and it's because it's like you get a bunch of guys out there. We're talking BS a lot too, or whatever. But it sounds a little sexist.
Women do the
Listen,
same thing.
There's
okay.
No, but they do it in a different way.
Are
usually,
worse. Women are worse verbally than men.
From my personal experience, women and men do think very differently on things. They also think similarly. But it's also, I mean, I would like to see it happen, regardless of how sexist it sounds. I would like to see it happen, and because it's like, I like the different perspective, because there is a woman's perspective on things, for the most part. It's not always cut and dry, whatever.
Wait, go to break, come back, and then I have something else to say.
Fine,
so go to break.
Okay,
go.
The Webcomic Beacon is hosted on RampageNetwork.com.
Be sure to check out our weekly live broadcast on TalkShoe.com. Listen in, chat, or call in at WebcomicBeacon.com/live.
Byron of StripFight.org bringing you the weekly ringside update. Round 169, Games of Nature, went to Elisa of LemmingSolution.LiveJournal.com. Lisa squawks the loudest and wins the love of the crowd. This week, our fighters discover Round 170, The Thing Under My Bed. Aaron puts on the sleeper. Nico exercises his demons. Vince meets his competition. Raygun finds world peace, and Tim his inspiration. We have 5 players under the mattress. Go and vote for your favorite strip. The next round, 171 Video Games, still has a few days left before the deadline on August 17th. Get those entries in. Stripfight.org. May the best comic win.
And now, Mark Savory with a webcomic review.
You sent for me, Lord Vader.
Yes, Admiral. I've been looking over your webcomic. I find your lack of updates disturbing.
My Lord Vader, I've tried to update, but there have been life issues which have prevented me.
Life issues do not concern me, Admiral. I want those updates, and I want them now.
I shall redouble my efforts, Lord Vader.
See that you do. And as for those life issues, you must learn to crush such rebel scum for the glory of the Empire. Now leave me. I must consult the Emperor.
Yes, my lord.
So, my master, what do you have for me in the latest episode of the world's worst webcomic? What? My mother? No!
Whoa. Could it be that evil couch of the world's worst webcomic actually did Vader's mom? Well, that's a question for the ages. But right now, let's examine another question, namely updates, or lack thereof. And before we begin, yeah, we've all heard that lame the first time someone ever used it phrase, updated whenever I feel like it. New webcomickers still use that moronic and most unfunniest of slogans. Why, I don't know, because it tells the reader right off that they can't depend on anything with your comic. So why should they bother reading it at all? I don't know what's worse, someone telling you right up front they don't care if you read their comic or not, or someone who makes a good comic, then just walks away leaving you in a lurch. More about that in a minute. Now, I want to be clear, I'm not talking about things that just sort of crop up which prevent an update. Illness, vacations, family situations, computer crashes, and so forth. Those things happen and are to be expected. Now, what I'm talking about is more along the lines of laziness, lack of effort and commitment, or outright abandonment. To start with, let's take the case of Avoid Spikes by Martin and Wolf over at dogsounds.com/avoidspikes. I like this comic. It's well drawn, has a geeky element, it's funny, and it's a weekly. At least that's what we've been told. It certainly started out that way, and then it seemed to become bi-monthly, monthly, and these days it appears to be a quarterly. It has some funny strips, but even the funniest comic loses something after you've seen it each and every day since June. Or Butternut Squash by Ramon Perez and Rob Coulter over at butternutsquash.net. Now there's a name brand for you. These guys are big. Maybe not Penny Arcade big, but they're right up there. Fantastic art, well-written, funny, interesting characters, and not a comic I'm going to bother with again. Why give up on it if it's so good? Well, go over there and take a stroll back through the archives. With just about every comic, you'll see an apology for a late update. I mean, enough already. Guys, either invest your time in the comic or not. You flat out say you update on Thursdays. Well, if you can't bother to be there on Thursday when you said you'd be there, why should I show up? What for? And let's be brutally honest, fellas, it's not like you're doing a daily. You do a weekly, and it's late almost every time. What's up with that? You guys could really learn something from Ted Bastien. Ted does a comic called Bugsport over at tedstudio.com/bugsport. It's the comical story of Roswell aliens who have a government-sanctioned home in a small Maine coastal town. The drawing is excellent. The characters are great, and it doesn't update all that often. But on the other hand, Ted doesn't promise an update at a given time because it's just a personal project he does when he can. And when he can't update the story, he adds some filler to remind us he hasn't forgotten the audience is out there. Or Pirate and Alien by Tyson Smith at pirateandalien.com. Dude got a real job doing illustration work, so he had to give up on the comic for a while. But he didn't just walk away. He let people know he had to put the comic aside, at least for right now. And that's a class act, just like Ted. Compare that to the guys who are doing Daedalus Blue over at I'm not going to bother giving you their URL because there's no point.com. Like Ted Bastien and Tyson Smith, John Aggs and Dave Andrews are the real deal. They make real graphic novels and comics and things like that. But they walked away from a very interesting comic without so much as a howdy-do. Basically, they abandoned it and their audience over a year ago. And I don't think they could reanimate the thing if they had the Necronomicon. Even if they do start updating again, I'm not going to be there to bother reading it because I can't rely on them. And they're supposed to be professionals in their field. Okay. There is a school of thought that says, the heck with the audience. Unless it's huge and helps you pay the rent, then they can just like it or lump it if you miss an update. But if you're only making your comic for yourself, why post it online for the world to see at all? Your audience, however small, has chosen to make an investment in your comic. Not the same kind of investment that we make in time, effort, frustration, and money, but it's an investment nonetheless. It's quite a compliment when you think about it. Look, making a webcomic ain't like dusting crops, boy. If you run into a lack of updates, that could end your strip real quick. When your readers go to check on your comic, they should never have a bad feeling about it. They should be able to go to your comic and find an update when you told them to expect one. Then they'll be able to say to themselves, the force is strong in this one. And remember, unless you're willing to commit to updates, you'll never make the jump to light speed. When you half-ass your updates, you're turning to the dark side and away from your audience. I'm Mark Savory, and until we meet again, take care.
For more from Mark, visit autumnlake.com.
This is Byron of StripFight.org bringing you the weekly ringside update. Round 169, Games of Nature, went to Lisa of LemmingSolution.livejournal.com. Lisa squawks the loudest and wins the love of the crowd. This week, our fighters discover Round 170, The Thing Under My Bed. Aaron puts on the sleeper. Miko exercises his demons. Vince meets his competition. Raygun finds world peace and Tim his inspiration. We have five players under the mattress. Go and vote for your favorite strip. The next round, 171 Video Games, still has a few days left before the deadline on August 17th. Get those entries in. StripFight.org. May the best comic win.
Fez, you know, if Fez does this show, this all-girls show, he has to also do an all-guys show.
Well, they're already done.
We have guys on all the time.
I know, but he has to do it like the other show with Mario Lopez and Dick Clark and the other guy.
Oh, all like right. The counter view.
Yeah.
Okay.
The anti-view equation.
Okay, fine.
If we view.
If we do a special women's episode.
The crime syndicate of the view. Bizarro view.
If we do a special women's episode, we'll do like a very manly episode the next one.
It'll all be tits and guns. No,
it'll be like the most radical sexist 2 weeks ever.
Well, exactly, because you're going to end up with it from both sides.
2 weeks? Wow.
One
episode after another?
Yeah, absolutely. Because then it's thematical.
This is my concern, okay? If you get women together to do a webcomic-related podcast, okay?
Wait, are we talking about a whole podcast or episode?
Either way.
Okay.
They are still united for the sake of a genre, okay?
Webcomics.
Your viewpoint is not going to be that much different because they are ultimately fans of the same genre.
Well, then
this is what I'm getting at is that I have to say that if I were to take a random sampling of the women I know, the geek girls, the ones that like comic books and go to conventions, generally, with a couple of exceptions, are very much like me. They tend to have very masculine personalities. They have the mental penis, at least in parts. You know, a mental ball. Then if you go to the other women that I know that aren't interested in those things, they tend to have that very radically different viewpoint, but they're not going to give a crap about any, you know, they're going to podcast about, God, I'm going to get mail. They're going to podcast about shoes, you know, or like something that like typically, you know, that stereotypical women care about. They're not going to podcast about the things that we care about. And the women that would podcast about the things that we care about aren't that radically different than the men.
If you're going to do it, you need to get, let me give you some recruiting.
Gay men, flaming gay men.
No. Here is some recruiting advice on who to get for this all-girls show.
Okay.
Let's see here.
All-girls show or podcast? Or either one?
Well, either the all-girls show. Anyways, you have to get gothy. You just have to.
Yeah.
Mixed myth.
Okay.
If possible, try Kitty Hawk. I don't think you can get her, but try. Let's see. Who else is there? You got any suggestions, Tanya?
I was thinking of, are we looking for that for as feminine as possible?
We're looking for a good mix of different kinds of personality.
A good mix. What about the artist for Caspal? I don't know her name.
Oh yeah, Lucy.
Lucy.
Lucy Lyle.
You got some drawing to do.
Lucy? Yeah. let's see. She would be a good one. What about,
like I said, it would be interesting to see if you would be able to get the Amgoth, you know?
Yeah, you know, and again, Jenny Breeden from Devil's Panties, the artist of Punch and Pie,
Like I said, I'd be really interested to see if it would be possible if you could get Kitty Hawk on that kind of show, or any kind of show.
What does she do? I don't get names.
S-G-V-Y.
It's what?
Sparkling Generation Valkyrie Yuki.
What the heck that is?
I have no idea.
It's like a manga style webcomic that pokes fun at
other like female done webcomics that are very very girly.
I'm talking about verified females though, because online yeah,
I know.
Well, okay.
Yeah, the number one question asked when I join any MMO, are you a real girl? That's like the only question. Well, it does. It does. You're 14 and homophobic and you want to maybe, you know, do some virtual feel up.
Yeah, on a video game. That is so sad.
Virtual third base.
I
exactly.
I always...
The only virtual third base I know about is on Wii Sports.
Oh, nice.
Whenever I used to play WoW, I always played like female characters, probably for sexist reasons because I don't like playing as the guys. For one, the human guys look like freaking freaky muscular hell.
They can't put their arms down.
And it's like, okay. I'm a guy that's attracted to women, so why wouldn't I want to play millions of hours a week with a cool girl character? Yeah, I understand.
I have a friend who's like this. He says
Fez has just admitted to being a transsexual lesbian on the inside.
No, it doesn't. Anyway, I never ever roleplayed that. Sexuality. I was like some guys like try to as like okay as like yeah. I whisper and it's like you know, I do not roleplay sexuality on the game. I never say whether or not I'm a girl or a guy just because I just avoid it. I just avoid it and I play the game. You know,
there's no gaming hide the sausage.
But you know, as far as just last few thoughts on the women podcast is like, okay, it's like I would be interested in hearing a feminist. Like, you know, actual feminists, not just women on the podcast, but, like, feminist women doing webcomic podcasts without being too ultra-feminist, you know, where
okay,
it gets
okay, so you
be
don't
like,
mean radicals.
Yeah,
because
not
all radicals.
Radicals
would do is bitch.
I mean, it's
it
obviously,
be
it's going to, I mean, it's going to come up, you know, the guy versus girl thing with any masculinist or feminist, whatever, what's the other, the guy version of feminist? It's going to come up the girl versus guys, and it shouldn't. But I would still like to hear that because you know, even as nerds, I think women have you know it's just natural you know social conditioning. You know, women generally have different thoughts, a way of looking at things than men. And
I
would like to hear
this
difference.
I actually think it's less social conditioning than it is brain chemistry. I really
well,
do.
That too, but I don't want to say that because I don't know the facts for sure. It's like if I say it's brain chemistry, oh, what are you saying about women? I don't know. We're gonna get some mail on this, I'm sure. But
you know, we get mail anyway. No I know a good deal about brain.
Hate mail's better than no mail.
Well,
I know a good deal about brain development and chemistry because my son is autistic, and if you want to help him, you learn about all of this.
Right.
And
what
a
type,
great
what type?
Deal. He has classic autism, so he was born autistic, not regressive. But
so it's not like Asperger's.
No, this is classic autism. But year and a half therapy, he speaks, he's good. So, anyway, there is a lot of that it is. It does have to do with basic hormone levels, and one of the most interesting things is when you look at someone who has done a female to male sex change. Mm-hmm. They've documented certain changes in their thinking. Like they have less difficulty navigating with a map. They find.
Oh boy, you're kidding! Really?
Absolutely. They
but,
have easier time navigating.
But guys don't use maps.
Well, okay.
I'm just kidding. We don't
you know
ask for directions.
Saying. Yeah, they have an easier time with navigation. They have an easier time with spatial dimensions. They have an easier time with purely thought-based mathematical computations. There is a difference, and male to female transsexuals have the same things. They notice the way their memories are processed is different. A lot of this is hormone related.
Well,
so
as long
we
as you got the evidence, we can't get in trouble for saying it. So,
yay, evidence! I'm going to try science.
Okay, I'm trying to think of the name for this show now. We got two different topics. We got utter disaster, and then we talk about feminism.
Just
I
call
guess.
It. Just call it utter disaster
and
feminism.
Also,
that'll get mail.
That is so terrible.
We're also talking about Fezbwork's closet, the desire to be a woman.
No, we're not. In any case,
I want to see that cover.
No.
Is that the next show?
Next show, we're talking about transgender and morph comics with with Dan Shive actually
and Fess.
Oh yeah.
So it's gonna be a good old time.
Wow, how did we know?
I'm gonna derail this. A while ago, we had the Jenny Everywhere Draw to Win Wagon Webcomic Battle Trading Card Game Contest, and one of the winners
harder to say.
And one of the winners was Jacob of awesomepedia.org, and for he wanted me to mention this, and this is kind of like what I wanted to talk about. It is an hour. He's calling it an hourly comic where he does at least a couple panels, like a small comic, 1 hour of every day that he's awake until whenever. It's kind of like a journal comic. And that's at awesomepedia.org/hour. And it's kind of cool. It's very minimalistic, you know, because, you know, you're just drawing a quick little thing. So yeah. Sometimes
you have to have
a little
at least an hour's worth of experience to draw something. Yeah.
But a lot of times it's just, you know, he goes out and he gets like a cup of tea or something like that. But it was really cool. He had like a Jenny Everywhere. He just had Jenny Everywhere like pop in for an episode for like a few strips going on a weird little adventure. So it wasn't all just journal comic. It was just like, you know, I feel like, hey, let's just do this. So that was pretty cool.
It's an extended version of the 24-hour comic challenge.
Well, it's kind of like an extended and exceptional, because you don't do it. You don't have to be up for 24 hours, but it's also kind of like the daily routine thing that also is a Scott McCloud thing, where you do a comic every morning or do a strip every morning when you wake up.
Right.
I don't really see that. Well, I mean, not like your particular, not like your particular comic that you're working on, but like just one that you up and do.
Yeah.
But you know, whatever.
I actually liked it. Going back through, I think it would be a lot easier if you were just kind of reading every day to go back through the archives, because it is so disjointed. You know, each one or two panels is its own hour and is its own instance in time. Mm-hmm. Reading it all together is a bit much, but if you were checking it every day, and a lot of times it was actually kind of interesting. I can almost see it being soothing. Just every hour or so, you go check and see what he's doing. It's like a visual Twitter.
Interesting way of putting it. Well, that could be interesting to see other people do that.
It won't be me.
Yeah, I mean, I already want to take part in like strip fight, but I always have like so many things going on. I was like, I've almost been keeping up for a whole month doing 3 comics a week for my comic, and that's already been kind of hard, so I can't really do it much of anything extra.
Wow, only 3?
Yeah, I was like on a long hiatus because I just got so like burned out, and it's like I do a lot for my comic because I don't know how to do comics right, so I spend a lot of time drawing, and then I take my trace paper and I ink over that so I can easily fix the mistakes, change head angles if I want very easily.
You do a lot of things kind of like the long way. Well, I think you're coding.
I am not erasing my drawings. I am not erasing.
And that's fine. I think your coding is not a symptom. I think it is actually a symbol. This is just kind of the way you do things.
A symbol of the past.
No. It's the way that's comfortable to you. It's not necessarily the quickest, the easiest, the fastest. But it's the way you do it.
I don't have time to learn new things.
That's a horrible statement.
I make myself.
When you learn new things, you save time.
No, I don't, because I don't have time. Okay, look at this. Okay. I'm the script editor for Ardra as well as the webmaster, so I gotta take care of that. I do a weekly 60-second 60-second segment for Infendo Radio called 2 Cents in 60 Seconds. So I gotta like make sure I got something good for that. I am the proprietor of the Jenny Everywhere Shifter Archives site. So, and I'm still behind on that, getting the new archives updated, because we got like 20 more things I have to put on the site. I do the webcomic Beacon, which is a lot of work, more than what Mark Savory was saying of how easy it is in the forum when he was talking about, oh, it's fun and relatively easy to do. My butt, it takes like twice as long to put it all together than it does to record it. And then I also do the webcomic PSI. And
do you ever wonder, though, if you like took a month and instead of filling that month with other projects, took that month to streamline and learn new skills to make all of those other things easier? If like it took me a solid month to really learn and become comfortable with Inkscape. So over that month, everything kind of fell apart. But it now takes me half as long to do my comic as it did before. So, you know, that learning actually saves you time in the long run.
Yeah, but here's the other problem. I don't have time to take time off because... because right now I got to do everything in an order because I have crossovers coming up. I got to next week I got to get 3 strips out to get my characters exactly where they need to be for a crossover the following week, which is going to
be. So here's what you do. You wait until crossover is over. You wait until con season is over. There's that early winter lull, right?
Where No. I don't have until the new year until I have a break. Because
Well, then do it then.
Well, you know what you can do? do what I did that 1 month. Just make a call out for guest month for your comic.
I owe so much guest art, I can't ask for any more.
I'd do it for freebies.
I have yet to... Okay, in June, okay, I was asking for people to draw Nemi in, like, different clothing because she's going to do a clothing montage. I said I would never do a clothing montage, but that doesn't mean that I wouldn't have guest art doing a clothing montage. This was in June, and I won't be getting into it until the end of August. This is how much I underestimate story progression in a comic. Because it's like, okay, look at, like Elguna Shive, okay? Yes. That started in 2002. Uh-huh. Do you know
It had a slumber party that went on until 2008.
Pretty close.
Yeah,
slumber party lasted a long time.
I have stories that I meant to do a year and a half ago that I just never got to because other things came up and it took longer to do things than I thought it would. So I can't do anything until after I know I have nothing else planned because I got like at least it's looking like a month and a half crossover with Blades of Toshibu.
Yeah.
Or Toshibu. I forget. And then I got a crossover with the Kamix coming up in a couple of weeks, which is going to be cool.
New recommendation. January 30th. Okay? On January 30th, sign up for a time management course. Because you don't know how long things are going to... You don't seem to have a clear idea of how long a task is going to take. Mm-hmm. You don't know how long the task is going to run. And you don't know how to schedule your time to get it done efficiently. Take a class. And
but
they will teach
you that. That's not going to work for a comic that's purely character-driven.
Absolutely not true. It'll help.
I don't know what they're going to do until I'm at Photoshop putting in the text.
You're right.
The scripts beforehand.
I can't do that because they change when I draw. It's like, wait a minute. They wouldn't actually do this. I got to change this. They won't say it that way.
Change takes less time than writing it while you go.
Yeah.
But changing it while you draw takes less time. If you had even just a general script.
Idea of where it goes, yeah.
This is the beginning. This is the middle. This is the end for this one comic. It would go faster.
That never works. When I used to draw the script, I would always, like, wait, I got a better idea. So I'd have to change it immediately while I'm drawing. And then the strip turns into two strips because it's going to take too many panels to do. And then
you
it's
need
like,
to learn to say no to yourself.
And then there's
you need
like,
to learn
okay,
to say no to yourself.
I don't know how to do layouts either because then I don't have enough room to, there's not enough room to say that. So I have to change what they say.
You need to learn how to say no to yourself. You do.
I it's part of an underlying bigger problem because I don't know how to. Because I think I purposely keep myself busy because I'm I got problems, I got issues.
Okay, new advice. January 30th, sign yourself up for counseling.
I don't have that kind of
problem. Well, you're making things harder than they need to be. And that actually leads to depressions and other issues.
Leads to depression. I'm trying to pretend like I'm not depressed.
Oh, so this is your addiction? Instead of drinking, you work?
Yeah, I believe so.
He's a workaholic.
You're an avoidant personality.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
I don't have time to get depressed until I burn out from working too much.
You're an avoidant personality.
That's really
bad. Very common.
I am a drinker though. After I get broken up, I usually drink to get drunk. Then I go online and make drunk posts.
Yeah, this is bad.
She left me. Then I'm also the kind of people that go through my phone list and I start calling people on my phone.
Oh no, you're not a drunk caller.
But I'm also a responsible drunk because if I get broken up and I work the night, I will not get drunk. I'll be like, damn it, why couldn't you dump me on Monday when I don't work? You know?
See, here's what you should know as an avoidant personality. You shouldn't drink. Period.
No. I very rarely drink, and it's almost...
Because how old are you?
27.
Okay. No, that's fine. I'm not calling you out. But do you know the difference between a 27-year-old avoidant personality and a 50-year-old avoidant personality?
Oh, you're going older? I was going to say if you're going to go younger, the younger person still has a future ahead of them.
Yeah, no, the 50-year-old avoidant personality is an alcoholic. Like, because you no longer have all of the things to keep you busy. The social network changes as you get older. And then all you have to avoid things is drinking or drugs.
Well, when I'm that old, when I'm that old, hopefully I'm on retirement and I can just play video games all day.
And be drunk.
I'll be like a 50-year-old person, 50-year-old guy playing World of Warcraft 20
as
a
woman.
As a woman.
Ass. Anyway, that's all for the that is all for the beacon this week.
You're
yeah.
the one that said it.
No, we,
you,
I did not I said know, play as women us. Characters. Anyway, whatever.
if you're going to stare at something on a screen for hours and hours at a time, it should be a hot ass. I'm with you.
Well, I'm not staring at the... I don't... Jeez, you're damn sexist, damn people. Anyway, that's all for the webcomic beacon. Hopefully everything will be sorted out by the next week when we have Dan Shive on of Elguna Shive. Damn it.
Shive.
Can I jump on that episode too?
And we talk about transgender and morph webcomics.
It should be good. I'm looking...
What? No, we gotta go. The cat's in the oven. Okay, this has been FessandErnst.com.
This is Tanya of Vetaphone.com.
This has been ThePointGuardian.com.
Please come back next week.
Thank you. I will.
This episode?
I meant the listeners. I meant the listeners.
Yeah, the listeners. What listeners?
Goodbye.
New listeners.
Bye.
That's all for The Beacon. Be sure to tune in next week.
I'm glad this isn't recording right now.
Oh, it is recording.
Okay.
I always record just in case there's something really funny I can clip out.
Just because Tanya goes on and on about her boobs for half an hour after the end of every podcast. Christ. I'm glad I'm amusing you, Ben.
You are.